Blog Talk Radio.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to Him.
Start there, just to stir you up and incite you.
Elder Bark, are you there, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right here with you.
Amen. Amen. Well, can you open us up in prayer? Amen. And you open us up in prayer, and we're going to jump right in.
All right. Glory be to your name, O God. Glory be to your holy master's name. Father God, we come before you, Lord God, to lift a hallelujah praise unto you, O God, to thank you for all that you are, Lord God, for you are King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God. And as we come before you, Lord God, we stand in a repenting heart, Lord God, bowing before your throne of grace, asking that you, Lord God, remove anything within us that is not in line with you, Lord God. Remove sin and iniquity, Lord God, that we would stand strong, Lord God, that the flesh would recognize that the spirit man is being built up within us, Lord God, that we would move beyond the temptations of the world, Lord God, and wrap closely, Lord God, to what you have said about us, what you have said over us, and what you have given for us, O God. Father, we just thank you that as we join together today, Lord God, we'll have words to share that will not only be good words, but words that will do some good, that will make change in our hearts, our minds, and our souls, Lord God. Change in Deacon Farr, myself, change in all those listening, Lord God, those online right now, those joining live, Lord God, those that will go back and listen to archive messages, Lord God, however it's spread, Lord God, however technology allows this word to be spread, this time that we're sharing to be spread, we just thank you, Lord God, that it'll touch the right heart, the right mind, it'll go through the right ears to be shared for someone else, Lord God, to give you the glory that you truly deserve. We honor you and bless you and pray to you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, brothers, we're going to jump right in. Again, we're talking about transform the seven pillars of a legacy-minded man. Elder, what do you say? We're going to start with you. You can open us up. Where you want to go?
Man, so the fact that we're still in this one is great for conversation. I just have to say, before we even dive directly into this one, I just want to say to all those listening, those that will go back and listen, please take the time to go into these devotionals. They are meat. They are truly meat for the men to feast on, for us to get some information, for us to get better understanding, for us to get some sustenance beyond the milk that we've been sipping on, the little baby fire police we've been in. This can take us into what we so seldomly ask, what are men supposed to do? What are men called to be? These devotionals we've been reading, brothers, are, I mean, when I say they're laying it out, it's like somebody laying out the architecture for your body and soul to be put together. It's been awesome. So I want to jump right in on this seven pillars. It starts with foundation, and I love his example. And his example is we've all seen the aftermath of earthquakes. But in that aftermath, some buildings are still standing, other buildings are falling. But the point is, the ones that are still standing had a strong enough foundation to bear the issues, to bear the stress. We as men face so much stress, whether it's our jobs, whether it's our marriages, whether it's our ministry. In our lives, we come into so many stressors, so many variables that change and force us. And sometimes those are the very things that shape how we look at things for the very, you know, as our interaction with other people. But when we have a foundation that we don't crumble in the fall in the midst of those issues, and that foundation being found in the Word of God, trusting in God, and being led to live a life that exudes the fruits of the Spirit, those very things come from a foundation, a relationship knowing God, being rooted, being grounded. The devotional, I love it because once again it asks for a talk it over, and I'm gonna just, I think I just wanted to share what I wrote in the response. It always asks, based on today's reading, what was one thing God is saying to you? In day one, we read Matthew 7:24-27. I'm gonna pull that up and read it before I read my what I said, just so we can start digging in from the Word. And in Matthew Amen. 7, it says, Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in and comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on sand. When the rain and the floods comes and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. My response, God is our foundation. He alone is the one immovable rock that we must anchor ourselves to. God is the basis to stand strong in any storm, to stand strong in the midst of the earthquakes that continues to shake. And even when you got past that massive shake, you still have the aftershocks. You still have stuff that comes back up. But the foundation, the correct foundation, the strong foundation, that immovable foundation will hold you strong in all of that. You might have some chips. You might get some dust on you. You might even look a little dirty, but you're going to come out victorious because of the promise of God. The promise in the foundation of God, resting in him, abiding in him, says that we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers, that this situation and no situation is greater than his name. What other promise do you need when you say that is my foundation? That's the basis for me standing strong as a man, is to lean upon God first and know that he'll hold me through the storm. What do you have to say, sir?
Amen, sir. I agree. And that foundation, and we build that foundation is on his word. It's on the Holy Spirit living within us. It's our submission to the Holy Spirit, and it's an understanding and a knowledge of his word. You know, when you started off, you talked about moving from milk to meat, and that's what we have to be as men of God. We are called to grow spiritually, and then we have to look at ourselves and say, well, what are we doing to strengthen our foundation? Because when we're shaken, when those things come, when we have those health issues, finance issues, relationship issues, and we need to be able to go to the Word of God, to know where to go to the Word of God, know the truth of the Word of God, and then draw ourselves closer to Christ. Because the closer we're Him, he will keep us standing upright in the midst of the storms and the trials. So, you know, when that foundation is very important, I think, and just having to start there. And I'm going to say this about foundation. You know, even in building, in the building codes and inspections, we have to check our foundation. We have to be growing and strengthening and reinforcing. And the only way we do that is through prayer, through a study of the word, for the understanding. And also, brothers, I'll say this, it's the application of the word. It's applying to the word to our circumstances and situations, no matter what. Because even in following the word, it's not always going to be easy, and everybody around you is not going to definitely agree with your direction and what you believe. But you have to be strong in the word to and be able to endure. And that's what I thank God of that, because it all starts there. So if we don't let doubt get in and fear and those things that's going to shake our foundation, that's what we have to be. We have to guard against. Not letting anything into our lives, into our spirits, that's going to shake our foundation and our faith and who God says he is and what he has done and will do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to day number two.
Okay.
Again, for the brothers out there. Go ahead.
I was saying, you want to start it off?
Yeah, I can. Amen. Amen. Well, day number two is one thing I just mentioned. It talks about prayer. Prayer is that pillar, mm-hmm. that first pillar. You have the foundation. Now, like I said, upon that foundation now, we have to build a lifestyle of prayer. How important is it that we are in a constant place of prayer? You know, the devotion talks about being a man of prayer will not happen by accident. It takes training. Mm. Just like an athlete works out in his physical challenge, prayer is a spiritual challenge that takes much effort. Even though it's hard, it is well worth it. The recipe for spiritual victory always includes prayer. Now, let me say this about prayer, brothers. This is one of those things that we have to work on for our spiritual growth. We have to mature into prayer. Prayer is not something that comes, you know, it starts off because we all start in a place of prayer, but our prayer should start to develop. You know, the thing I always used to say here about, talk about and the taught was, you know, at some point in our prayer life, we're going to stop asking God and we're going to start listening to God. And we're going to transform from God, do this for me, God. But now you're going to go, Lord, How can I serve? How can I, what do I need to be doing? And that comes with maturity. It's a process of maturation. And our prayer life should be that pillar that we all, because again, it's not easy, because what it's going to do is, it's going to shift where you spend your time and what your priority is. Because if we look at our day, look at our 24-hour day or our week, how much time do we spend doing everything else, and how much time do we truly spend in prayer to God, in prayer, in our personal prayer time? And that's where the challenge is, to build that pillar of prayer into our lives, where we're speaking to God and we're hearing from God. And again, we're listening, because we need guidance and directions. And again, it's about being submissive and being obedient to the Holy Spirit that's living within us. You know, and I think that's something we all have to, we have to be able to check ourselves, I'll say that, or where we at in our prayer life, honestly. And then do we want to pursue a better prayer life? Because we all know where we are in our prayer life, but now do we want to pursue to have a deeper and more stable prayer life? Again, we're talking about pillars. So pillars is something that we want to put on our foundation, and then upon that we're going to add to it. But prayer is that foundation we have to, as individuals. And we have to all, you know, seek to go there. What do you say, brother?
Yes, sir. If our last devotional, when we talked about prayer, really opened up a lot. And, you know, I realize sometimes it's just so easy to not spend time in God's presence. There's so many distractions. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you wake up and you say, Lord God, you know, when I get up in the morning, my first thing I want to pray, I want to be in your word. And you get up and you're moving around, you have one distraction, and before you know it, that plan is all over the place. You haven't prayed, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Sometimes it's nighttime, and you realize, oh my goodness, I haven't taken the time to just pray for a few minutes, just slow down. And the monotony of life, stress of life, the things going on, all the situations, trying to deal with your house life, you know, with your spouse, your job. But if we recognize that the foundation, the first thing that we lean upon is prayer, and those very issues, the things that we run into, the things that feel good, the things that feel bad, when we're in that mindset that we're praying, we're always in a position that we praise God, that we've repented to God, and that we've asked God, and that we're yielding to God, yielding to his very word and way and directions on what we've asked about, what we're asking for guidance in, what we're asking to receive, yield to receive it. But prayer has to be what you lean upon. Prayer, it says it plain out in this devotional, the number one pillar, the first thing to lean upon. In your foundation, the first thing to lean upon is prayer. That is the connection to God, to talk to God and to yield and listen for his direction. Listen for Holy Spirit to be dispatched upon you for revelation in your situation. The growth of prayer, my brothers, so many of us will say someone else, you know, prays so much better than me, so we're embarrassed. I had it so many times with men. I thought like that for so long. I don't want to pray out loud because I don't pray like somebody else. I would compare myself to someone else's vernacular that they use to pray, or the way that the things that they said, the way they could quote scripture while they prayed, and that fire and brimstone type of prayer. And I was sometimes embarrassed to pray in my own way because I felt like it didn't compare to theirs. I wasn't on their prayer level. But understand this, we all have to go to God like children. We all have to go to God, and as we go to God as children, like children, we learn more, but we have to continually go to God. You can't learn something or you can't do something one time and expect that you're going to know how to do it, that you're going to continue to. You'll stay in a locked place. You'll stay in a stagnant place. You have to exercise. You got to work it out. Just like an athlete, if they stop working out, those muscles start to fatigue a whole lot earlier. They can't handle the stress. They haven't been trained to make it that mile, to make it that distance. you got to pray through some things. But if you haven't trained yourself to pray, if you haven't built up that prayer relationship, if you haven't been in a place of continual prayer, when the chips are down, prayer is not going to be – I'm sorry, forgive me. I need to rephrase that. I don't want to say anything that prayer is not going to do. I'd rather say that it's harder to find a place to push through and pray in your situation when you're not grounded in your praying. I'm going to say that. It's harder to pray through things if you're not grounded in your praying. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And, you know, that's the thing, too, brothers. You know, it's when we talk about working out and playing sports and participating, a lot of it, why do people practice? They practice because they respond out of muscle memory. You know, whatever you're looking at, basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is, it's all about muscle memory. That's why they have practice. And when we talk now, and we bring it into the spiritual, when we talk about prayer, our prayer life is to be muscle memory. Because there's one thing we can't do, no matter who we are and how long we've been in the church and how long we've been saved. We can't take a person or go a place we ain't never been. So if we're not spending time in prayer, when we're talking about that, you know, standing up and praying in front of people, we can't do it because we've never been there before. Because if our prayer life was developed to the point and matured to the point where prayer is something that's part of who we are and our faith and our walk, then it won't be a problem. But again, to get there, we have to go there. If I can say that, you know, to get to a place where we may be called to pray or even to pray. But I can't say this, brothers. Let's back up. Are you praying with your family? Or husbands, are you praying with your wife out loud? Are you praying with your children out loud? Those should be the people, the first people that you should be comfortable praying around them. And then, again, this is about muscle memory. Because the prayer you pray with your family can be the prayer you can pray for your church, for the brothers that are in the men's group, for your brothers that you're in fellowship with. When you were with other couples that you're praying over your marriage, you can pray the same prayer with their marriage. Because, again, you know, we have more in common than we are different. So when it comes to marriage, the things that we go through, another couple could be going the same through. So if you prayed about it for your marriage, you can pray that same thing in a gathering of couples because one of the couples in that group needs that prayer. So I think it's a lot of it when we talk about prayer, because I want to encourage a brother because I remember he's saying about praying in public and how some brothers don't feel comfortable. It's muscle memory. But if you already have a habit of it, you know, you have a habit of prayer, and prayer is going to flow because it's part of who we are and who you are. You know, again, I bring it back to the example. We look at all these brothers playing football, basketball, all these things. They're playing a game out of muscle memory. Why they can hit the same shot from the same spot? Because they shot it there 150 times, so shooting it on a game is not a problem. It's as simple as that. Are we practicing prayer? Let me leave it like there, bro. Are we practicing prayer? Amen. 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 Again, brothers, this is Issue Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark. And again, we're going over and reviewing what we're doing as a devotional, as a men's group here, the seven pillars of a legacy-minded man. A legacy-minded man. That title right there, that's a preacher. That's a sermon right there. But we're going to stick with the devotional as we go through right now. Amen? So, brother, where we at? We're on day number – you ready to move or you have some more you want to add to that?
I'm ready to jump in. I had a little thing. I'm ready to jump in. I'm ready to jump in because I like this one
too. Go ahead.
All right. So this is – gentlemen, this is pillar two. It's persona. And persona is our deep way of interacting with the world around us. Persona is our reaction. Like, what happens in that reactionary gap, in that surrounding you, what happens when you flip out? What happens when the chips are down? How do you act? Can you stand there and react to a situation with gentleness and let it roll off your back and pray out the situation? Or do you throw your hands up and ready to punch somebody in the face? What is your way of interacting with the world? Who are you in that moment? Are you defined by anger and confusion? Are you defined by, and in your anger and confusion, do you go back into that sinful way? Do you kind of take step backwards? Are you now going to pick up because you're angry, because you're mad? Are you going to go back to drinking? Are you going to go back to drugs or pornography? Or let's just, okay, I'll give you a prime example. Persona. You're mad with your wife. You're mad with your wife, and intimacy just hasn't been there.
Oh, my.
Are you going to be the go and sit and pray with his wife, or are you going to turn on the porno, or are you going to find you somebody on the corner for a few dollars? What are you going to do? Who are you as a man of God when the, let's put it like this, fellas, let's get real. When the man temptations are there, when everything's tempting you not to walk as a bona fide Christian, but when flesh is standing up, or do you have the foundation? Have you prayed and been in your word to have you stand strong, that even in the midst of that, you'll still be the person that God called you to be? You'll still walk in that good character? Or will you fall back to those old ways that dealt with that, let's say, self-medicated the situations? And the self-medication may not be with something you ingested, but something you participated in. Back to you, sir.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Well, brothers, I mean, hey, he touched on it. Your persona is what you're going to do when the stresses come, when you are stressed. You know, I used to, you know, in devotional, it talks about it. You know, when you are squeezed, what's going to come out? And what are you putting in? Your pillar is, what are you building? What kind of persona are you building? Is this a pillar that you can, again, lean on when the times of challenge come, when the times of stress come, and they can come from a lot of directions? Where are you going to go? You know, where are you going to be going? Devotional here says, tragedy and crisis hit all men. Your persona will neither rise up and keep you from going or crumbling under the pressure. The fact is that we will get hit, but the question is, what is your plan when you do? You know, I remember Mike Tyson had a quote. You know, he talked back when he was, you know, when he was a man, when he was just knocking people out. He used to say, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. That's one of my favorite Mike Tyson quotes. He said that back in the day when he was on top. He said, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And the same thing in the spiritual realm. You got a plan. You can act like a Christian. You can think you're a Christian. You can play act you're a Christian. But when you get punched in the face, what's your plan? Where are you going? Amen? Mm-hmm. So the devotional continues. I want to finish with the devotional. When you squeeze an orange and tomato juice comes out, when you squeeze an orange, tomato juice does not come out, only orange juice. So it's much the same with all of us. When we are squeezed, the real us comes out. So is the real you of Christ? Is the real you a man of God? Are you a man of God? Are you a man of faith? Are you a believer? Are you connected with Christ? Are you being transformed into the image of Christ? So when you squeeze, Christ comes out. And we got to understand, too, the enemy is not afraid of us. The enemy is afraid of the Christ, the Jesus that's in us. Because us in our flesh, we can't do nothing. We can't defeat the enemy. We can't overcome the enemy. We can't be delivered from the enemy. We can't be purged from our sins by anything that we do. It's the Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit within us. So understand that the enemy, again, these things that come at us and try us, the brother used the example of your marriage, of your finances, of your relationships, of just being a man. These things are coming at you, and they're coming at you because they're not really scared of you. Because they know, because again, the enemy's going to try you in areas that you are vulnerable, and you have to know where you're vulnerable. And that's where your persona, you have to work on and be focused on those things that where your vulnerability is. If we do a man-to-man talk, and we talk about our sexual appetites in those intimacy moments, and how we respond when it don't go our way, and it ain't you not being satisfied, what kind of man are you then? My brother checked all the lists down there, but you know, again, these are the things, and then we can take not even those kind of things to the point where we're making bad decisions in other things. when we can't get what we want, when we can't do what we want. You know, come to finances. You know, we want to see, we want something, we want it so bad, and we break out that credit card, knowing that that's not good stewardship of our finances, using our credit card, and you have no intention of paying it off. I mean, paying it off in one payment, not making the payments every month for the next 25 months. I'm just saying. So these are the things we have to consider. Where are we at in our persona? And is the Christ in us? Is the Christ in us going to come out when the pressure's on or when we are tempted? Amen? What do you say, sir?
I keep having these visions. So I want to throw it out there in just a layman's term if I can. So imagine this situation. You are walking through the mall with your family, and some man walks right up to you and just smacks you clean in the face. Never seen him, never dealt with him, don't know his name, anything. Comes right up and smacks you in the face and says, now what you going to do? That is exactly what the enemy does. He comes as every imp and demon that can possibly be thought of, in every which way you may not recognize, some which will you allow to actually get in your car and ride home with you, some which you'll allow to lay beside you in your own bed. But at some point, they will punch you clean in the face or smack you in the face, and you got to figure out what to do. We have to know Christ. We have to know the answer. You don't want to be in a fight that you can't go somewhere and think you're going to win a boxing match, and you have no idea of the rules of the game. You have no ideas of the rules of boxing. You have no idea of strategy. All that comes, all of that understanding, battling spiritual warfare, all that understanding comes from a knowledge that out of the Word of God, a relationship with God, a prayerful life with God, a communication life with God, a life full of communication, forgive me, a life full of communication with God. So being in a position that we're always prayed up, we're always in communication, we're always talking to God and hearing and waiting to listen and listening with waiting ears for what God has to say. That's where we have to be because, man, I know every day it's a slap in the face. Something goes, whether it's and we think about the physical touch. I'm talking about a touch in your situation. It could be at your job. It could be your career. It could be your finances. It can be your marriage. It can be, but the enemy will consistently come at you, and every time it's feel like a smack in the face, and you got to figure out, what do I do next? How do I react? How do I move forward? What do I need to do? And how do I call upon, and who do I call upon to help me get through this? The answer is God. No one but God and God alone. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. In the scripture that says on for this day of the devotional, it was John 3:30, and it says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. We have to grow in God. That more of God is in us and less of us, less of our flesh, less of our selfishness, less of what we want. We have to die to ourselves and let him grow in us, that we are transformed to the image of him. That's who we are to be as men. And that's who we have to be, brothers. You have to see. And again, every brother, again, is always here. It's just Christian Men Tech. I always say the things that the men in ourselves and myself and my brother here, we are not standing on pedestals. We are men who are dealing with this every day, but we are here to encourage one another, encourage you, encourage each other in these things, because it's not like we all achieve anything. And in this flesh, on this earth, we are not going to achieve perfection. I just want to say that. And no other man, and any man that tells you different in his life, he's a liar, so you can't really trust what he's saying. Okay? But we all do know that we go through the same struggles, and the answer of overcoming those struggles is being a man of faith, being a man of principle, a man of God, who now is submitting himself to the Word and to the Spirit to get us through. Like Brother said, if you get punched in the face, what you going to do? You know, you got to weigh all your options. Do you got bail money? Do you, you know, how can you get to your car before the cops come? I mean, a lot of stuff, but I'm just saying. Just consider your way. Consider what your next move is. That's all I'm saying. Amen? And in the spirit realm, it's the same thing. What are you going to do? Are you going to retreat, abandon God, and do something out of your flesh that's going to send ripples for the rest of your life and the consequences of your family? Or are you going to trust God and believe God and seek God? And let me add this to that, too, because who's in your circle of influence when these times come? Because, again, one of the other things in all of what we're saying here, as we grow and develop, we are not long rangers. Who is in, who prays with you and for you? Who are the men in your life? Who's in your circle of influence? And who are you, who is standing by you, and who are you standing by? Because we're not, again, this is what the church is for, to encourage each other, to come alongside each other, that we all can fulfill the purpose and plan for our lives on the earth while we're here as Christians, as confessed believers. Amen? And that leads right into our next one, is purpose. The what are we, one, two, three, the third pillar we on is purpose. Amen? So when we talk about purpose, the devotion talks about a lot, but one of the things, I'm going to jump down here. So one of the things that it reminded me of is, you know what, that because it talks about it. From the day we were born, even before our parents met each other and conceived us, God had a plan and purpose for us. But now, are we seeking to know that purpose? First of all, do we know that God's plan, our life, God planned our life out and has a purpose for our being born and our and creating us? And now, do we know our purpose? Do we know that we have one, and do we know that we should be looking to find out what that purpose is? Amen? Because each of us was born for a reason and a purpose. If not, look at your children. Your children wouldn't be here if you wasn't here. If you didn't make the choice for your wife or your marriage or in a lot of things. Look at the people around you today. This is 2021. The people that you know that are part of the body of Christ that you're connected with, imagine what would the scenario be if you were not there, if you were not part of that, if you made another decision to go another way. But God knew the plan because where you are right now, God ordained for you to be right here, right now. So you have to understand that there's a purpose for your life and where you are and the people you're connected with. There's a purpose. You know, because one thing my pastor says a lot, he says, you never know what other people are going through. The people in your life, in your church, you never know what they're going through, that you are the answer to their situation, to their prayer, or there to encourage them that they will not crumble and fall when the pressures of life come to them. And God has, God has a plan for each of us. So are we seeking to understand what our plan, and do we know, even if this is not our particular time and season, that God may have a purpose that we haven't even gotten there yet? But maybe he's waiting for us to mature in him that he might use us. Amen? What do you say, brother?
Amen. I love it, brother. I love it. It talks Romans 8 and 28. Is the scripture that uses on pillar number four, which, of course, is purpose. But I think so much about purpose, man. We really don't realize just even down to the way we look can appeal to a person that's going to be the connection. It's just amazing. You know, I had an opportunity to share, and I had heard it and was able to repeat and share it with some other people. But imagine this. If you meet somebody in a store, in a grocery store tomorrow, and you say, God bless you, to them. Now, unbeknownst to you, that person prayed on their way in the store, God, if just one person will talk to me, it'll change my life. It'll stop me. If one person will speak to me and let me know someone cares, I won't kill myself. Or what if your purpose, as you spoke to that one person in the grocery store, was to just give them an encouraging word that they needed to be the ministry, to build the ministry that's going to save your grandchild 15 years down the line. We don't know our purpose. We just have to stand and ask God, lead me so that I'm in the right place at the right time to fulfill the purpose that you set for my life. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's amazing to me. That says that God is working everything out. So everything's going to work together. Even the stuff that we walked into or that the enemy led us in through temptation, even the situations that look dire and look like we're in just look like there's nothing but imminent death left in it. God can turn it around for our good and allow us to walk and fulfill the purpose. All we have to do is say, God, here I am, use me. God, here I am, I want to serve. God, here I am, I submit. Use me in my purpose with my gifting that you have given me, that you created for me to fulfill so that someone else would see your name and give you the glory because they see what you've been able to do in my life and their life through our transparency and testimony. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. I agree. Amen. Again, this is Deacon Thomas Farr and Elder Mark, and we're talking about the seven pillars of a legacy-minded man. But I tripped one. We're going to go back one because I clicked too many times forward, but we're going to go back to one pillar we skipped over. But pillar number three was purity. Purity.
Okay, I thought we missed
it. Amen. Amen. Because I clicked and I went. But anyway, we're going to keep rolling with it because that's also a one. Talking about the devotional talked about a lot, but the thing that stuck out to me, it talked about having the difference between the desires. Our desires, what I want, and God's desires for me and for us. Again, you know, are we living to be a legacy? Are we living a life that are pure, that we can be an example? That's one of the things it talked about in devotional. Are we being shaped and molded and discipled to be more like Christ when we talk about that purity? Because it's more than our sexual purity. It's about our lifestyle. About how we live and examples that we are leaving behind, that those are watching us. Children, I mean, okay, when I say children and young people, I want to talk about those who are spiritually young and also those who are young by age, our children, grandchildren, young people that we know, young people in our ministry, in our church that are watching us as mature men of God, and also those who are spiritually young. They're watching how I walk and how we handle situations. So some of that, are we living those pure lives, or are we living chaotic Christian lives, which to me is an oxymoron, but, you know, some people, you know, you watch their life and you wonder, you know, where's Jesus in all this? But anyway, as for us, are we living pure lives that we have, that the desires, are our desires more important to us than God's desires? What do you say, sir?
That is a true part of what you talked about in submission. Are we willing to give up the very things that make us happy to do the will of God? Sometimes, man, it's been so many times my wife and I looked around like, oh, we have a leadership meeting, or we have Bible study, or we have this, and we like, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize, oh, my goodness, we don't have time for this. And you know what I realized? When I dedicate myself to those things and stop worrying about the time, I seem to have time for everything I need. But when I worry about it and I start stressing, oh, I'm not going to be able to make this or this, that, I run out of time for everything. I'm realizing, put God first. Put God first. Men of God, men, put God first in everything, in all aspects of your life. Put him first. He's going to line it up. Devotion, we've talked about purity. We've talked about purpose. And all of that comes from a relationship, foundation. There's no way to get around the word foundation when you talk about a relationship with God. There's no way to get around. It's a requirement to have foundation with him. It's the only way to live this life. It's the only way to make it and know that you are guaranteed the reward of heaven is to have a foundational relationship with God, that relationship, that foundation is what sets you apart, what gives you the access to the very kingdom. You have already been promised it. We just have to reach out and grab for it. And all it takes is us saying, I submit, Lord God, give me your direction. I want to live to reflect your will and way. Back to you, sir. Deacon Fault, you still there, my brother?
Yeah, I'm here. Here I am. Hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Amen, amen. We're gonna touch one more pillar here. Again, we were doing Transform, the seven pillars of a legacy-minded man, and we got through, what is this, 5 days, so there's two more for the brothers that are keeping track with us. Amen, keep going. And again, to bring you up to speed, what we're doing here, and we committed to on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're going on the conference call here on the radio program. Again, if you got this link on your phone, or you got the link off of Facebook, or you got an email with the link on it, we're doing it live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can join us and share your insights as devotionals as we continue to move forward prayerfully every week and keep doing these devotions that we can connect, that we're on the same page, that we're walking the same path together and encouraging one another along the way as we dive into the deep understanding of who we are as men and to encourage one another. Also, on Thursdays, we get together when we're doing the Zoom. We're doing a Zoom virtual face-to-face. It's Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you text me back, we can send you the link. Reach out to Elder Mark. We can get you the link and be part of that Zoom. Basically, we come together, check on each other, see each other pray, talk about the devotional, and just continue. And just start to, you know, do those fellowships and connecting. Hopefully soon here we'll be meeting face-to-face, but right now we're going to do the Zoom. It's Zoom on Thursdays at 8 p.m., and then on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., you can call in on your phone and be part of these discussions. Amen? All right, Elder, we're going to go to, where we at? Pillar number five, priority. And you just touched on that in your last conversation. Prioritizing the things of God and making it a priority. And sometimes we have to look at our lives and see, what are our true priorities? Where are we spending our time? Where are we spending our treasure? What the things are we doing? And the biggest question we have to ask ourselves and our top five priorities is it glorifying to God? The things that we see as a priority in our life, are they glorifying God? That's the biggest thing I got out of scanning this devotional is, are we setting priorities in our life, the things that God wants us to do and be as men of God? Again, because we're talking about a legacy-minded man. So the things that we do should leave a godly legacy somewhere. It should be a milestone. It should be something that we're doing that's going to, someone can say that, you know, that you were a man of God because of the labor I've seen him do and the things I've known him to be about. The things that he served others, reached out to others. He was kind to others, or he was a good husband, a good father, a godly man. These, when we talk about legacy, again, legacy is who we were once we're gone. As simple as that. So when we talk about prioritizing our lives, what are the top five priorities in our life, brothers, and are they glorifying to God? What do you say, sir?
Yes, sir. That goes right to it. One thing I think about, and want to sound morbid or whatever, and speaking death or anything, but okay, so let's just say, as a man, we have all thought about death. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I thought about what would my obituary read? What would they say when I'm gone? Who will be standing there and what words will be said in that remember that, you know, when you ask someone to come up and say a few words that just speaks of who he was or what he meant to you, what are the words that will be said? Like Deacon Farr said, will it say that you were a hothead? Will it say that you were arrogant or ignorant? Or will it say that you reflected the very fruit of the Spirit, that you were a nice person, that you were a God-fearing man, that you loved your family? Those are the things that you want to make priority. The thing that you would want someone to say was good about you. You serve God, priority number one. You love your family. You work in ministry. All those things are priorities that we can set up. But what happens is the enemy tends to blind us and not allow it with doubt, with issues, with stress, with temptation. So we don't see the very things God has for us, and we tend to leave our blessings and leave our which are our priorities at the wayside because we're trying to pick up what the flesh has tempted us with. We're trying to chase after something that has nothing to do with our true spiritual growth. It has nothing to do with the will of our Father. It has everything to do with satisfying our fleshly desires. Some of it may not be going into pornography, but hey, if you sit and looked at a woman lustfully, that's adultery. You may not have sat and, you know, gone to the strip club or participated in some illicit sexual act, but it's all sin. It's all taking you away from what God has for you. When we prioritize a love relationship with God, we start to have a different understanding of what's really important. Being the man that can walk around and say he's, you know, stronger than this and have people fearful or whatever, the macho thing, whatever position you want to be in. But what does it really say about how you treated your kids, how you loved your wife, how you treated your family, how you served your community? What does what we're doing right now, what will those things come out to say about us? That's what we have to understand. Those are the things we need to change. Those are the things we need to put first, those that put us in a light that reflects who God is in us and who God is using us. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And let me say this, brothers, when we're talking about death, because first of all, as Christian men, as believers, we should know our eternal destiny when we leave these physical bodies. That's one of our foundations. If we believe what the Word of God teaches, we're going to spend eternity with Him. We're going to be resurrected with Him when He comes back after the tribulation. So our eternal destiny is secure in the Word of God, because we have to believe the Word of God for our eternal security. Because if we believe it for our salvation, why wouldn't we believe it for our eternal destiny? So when we talk about death, but like you said, it's not really morbid because we're all going to leave these fleshly bodies. If you don't think you are, you go back. I don't know. You don't. Obviously, you're probably, you don't know no dead people. However, you know, we all going to leave. But the question for us and for the unbeliever, even when we're evangelizing, where are you going to spend eternity? I know what the Bible says, what you must do to be saved, to spend eternity with Him, or if not, because remember, I go back to, this is a long time ago, this is when I first came into church, and even when I first started doing the talk show, there's only two kind of people in the world, the unbeliever and the believer. That's it. Either you believe God, the Bible, and His Son, Jesus Christ, or you don't. There's only two. So, and in that, our foundation, like our first pillar, our foundation is the Word of God and what the Word of God says, who we are and what our destiny is and what our future is after this life. So in saying that too, you know, and what you said, well, what are people going to say about you? I know, Miss, if we just look around, how many people we know in the church now, forget the sinner man, in the church, people pass and all these skeletons jump out the closet, because they wasn't living the life and it wasn't pleasing to God. And they didn't sow into their eternal destiny because they were living a lie. They were tear among the wheat and all these skeletons. So brothers, what's in your closet that you need to repent of, you need to purge, you need to turn over to God, that when your time comes, because remember, you're not gonna hear your obituary and you know the things you've done to people. Once you're gone, it's going to leave a legacy, a scar, or a burden for them because of the life and the choices we're making while we're here on earth. So this is the opportunity to repent from those things, to be delivered from some things, to purge some things from our lives, and start to live obedient to Him. And whatever it is, whatever your thing is, pray and ask God to help you, to deliver you. Reach out to your brothers, reach out to someone that can get you to a place where you're going to stand before God and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or you're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are the two things we have to concern ourselves as men, and we're talking about men who who are legacy-minded, and that would be our legacy. What are we going to leave behind? What are we leaving for our children? Because I remember that stat. I was looking at it recently. The stat for men who come to faith and their families come to faith, the stat is like 90%. If a man comes to Christ and leaves his family, it's 90% that the family will, then their children, that's what it was, their children will be children, will grow up to be adults of faith. Mm-hmm. If the husband and father comes to faith, and the family will come. I know we think about women in the church, but I think the rate for women was like 25%. A mother and wife comes, and 25% of the families will come to faith. But when the husband comes, when the father comes, that percentage is up. I mean, you can go out there and look for the polls and figure it out for yourself, but it's stated. But again, brothers, we just want to encourage you. And when we're talking about legacy and talking about the pillars in our lives and the things we're doing to grow in Christ and grow in the faith and move from milk to meat, it has to be something we have a passion to pursue. We have to pursue God. We have to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And we have to start the application of his word in our life and come with the submission of the Holy Spirit to do these things. And remember, we're here to please God, not man, not anybody else, because we're here to please him. And remember, our sins is against him. I know our sins affect other people. They can affect our families, our wives, our children, our parents, our friends, our neighbors. But the sins are against God because we were disobedient to him in our thought, action, and deeds. Amen. So, brothers, I'm going to encourage you again. Reach out to us every Saturday at 9, every Thursday at 9 a.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m. We're going to be doing a Zoom. Elder Mark, you can close us out with the closing statements and close us out in prayer, brother. And with God's will and God's grace and mercy, we'll be back here live on Thursday. I mean, we'll be back live on Thursday and next Saturday. Amen?
Amen. Amen. To all of you, my brothers, Deacon Fall said it best. This is truly about legacy. It's about what will you be remembered for? What will you be remembered for in your service to God? Will you be the one that stands apart from the way of the world and reflect who God has called us to be as men? That is the most important thing that we can do for our families, just like Deke gave the stat. Men following God saves their household. When men lock themselves into the household and don't have anything to guide them, they can't guide their household. So, men, I implore you. Be who God called you to be. Step up. This is another great devotional we have. We didn't get through it. There's actually 7 days on this one, 7 pillars. I'm sorry, it's actually 9 days. It's 7 pillars and then talks about foundation, some other ones. So we'll dig back into this one a little bit next week as well. But I'm just blessing you all, gentlemen. Just praying that you're all blessed by what we have to share. Recognize that we don't have it all together. That's why we're here sharing it, to be accountability partners, because men are called to be our brother's keeper. Iron does sharpen iron, so let us join together again to continue learning more of God and thus of ourselves. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God, and thank you for yet another opportunity, Lord God, to stand before you unified to give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in our lives. As men, Lord God, we are asking, Lord God, for your direction in our life. Lord God, you take the wheel. You be in control and lead us, Lord God. Guide us with revelation through Holy Spirit that we, Lord God, will make the decisions that reflect who you are in us, Lord God, as we walk this earthly journey. We thank you, Lord God, that you are giving us the purpose, Lord God. You are giving us the understanding, Lord God, of what it means to be a legacy-minded man, serving you, being transformed, Lord God, to something different than the way of the world. Father, we honor you for this opportunity and every opportunity we have to continue to stand before you, to praise you, to honor and bless you. And we thank you and praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, God bless you.